Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture is from the Gospel according to Mark. I'll be reading from the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 31. I'm reading the New Revised Standard Version, and you're welcome to follow along with your pew Bible, which is on page 1234. So hear now these words. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he, meaning Jesus, answered them well, the scribe asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this beautiful day, as we continue in our journey of what it means to be Wesleyan rooted in this place, today we hear how Jesus seems to simply, succinctly talk about what God asks of us and what that can look like. But it's not always an easy thing. So will you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to have us hear what you would need us to hear this day, that the changes will happen within, that they will be visible out into the world. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So for those of you, let's kind of situate ourselves with where we are. So it is September 22nd. According to my watch, and we are well into our Wesleyan rooted, and you may have noticed that I have John Wesley hanging out on the lectern, and why do I have two? Excellent question. So this is the one that I bought at annual conference one year. They have now since also created bobblehead of Susanna Wesley, who was John Wesley's mother. I don't know if they have a Charles Wesley, but I can kind of pretend that this is Charles, right? We'll just cover up the name. So this one I had bought, and when I was teaching the top 10 United Methodist beliefs last spring, we were gathering downstairs in one of the rooms, and I brought out my John Wesley statue and had him sitting on the desk, and we were having a conversation, and a lot of what we were talking about moved into just what was happening within the denomination as a whole. We were talking about how disaffiliation was really wreaking havoc upon, you know, the various churches that we all love and care for. And if you're curious, disaffiliation is because of disagreement about adhering to certain theological viewpoints and how to practice that within the life of the church. And after just a really emotional conversation, next thing I know, John Wesley is laying on the ground. Because Philip Edwards, you all love Philip accidentally knocked John Wesley off the table. And John Wesley basically got broken at the ankles. And so, you know, then John Wesley was in two pieces. And Philip, being who Philip is, insisted on replacing my John Wesley. So here's the replacement John Wesley. And while we were waiting for the replacement John Wesley, I fixed the other John Wesley, right? Because E6000 is my favorite glue for repair, and that's what worked, right? So now I have two John Wesleys. One of them is supposed to be Philip's, and one of them is supposed to be mine. So Philip, when you get home, you need to come clean your John Wesley. But I thought that was a pretty interesting illustration for sometimes how we interact with people, that we feel like we're on the right trajectory, and then we get knocked down, taken out by the ankles. Do you know what I mean? Like, isn't that a hockey move? It's, you know, where you just kind of take the stick and, like, knock their feet. Am I right, or am I making that up? It's a penalty. You'll end up in the penalty box. But you can do it. It's just not highly recommended that you do it, right? Because then you set the other team up for, you know, power play. But anyway, you know, this idea that sometimes we think that we're going along and, you know, everything's copacetic, and then something just, bam, hits us and takes us out. Do you know what I mean? Where we get knocked down to our knees, in this case, to our ankles. And we need something to kind of stitch us back together. We need some type of glue to put us back together. And for us, that glue is our community as faithful Christians, right? Because here's the reality. I can tell you, and I can speak with my language, I don't have my act together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I would probably say that is true for all of us, right? And there is something about coming here that makes us a little bit right, a little bit better than how we were. And that is God's grace working in our life. And so for us, when we think about being Wesleyan rooted, at the core of our identity as Methodists is this idea that God is a God of love, that God is a God of grace who offers it to us as a gift. And we can either choose to accept it or not. Does that make sense? It is our choice whether to accept it or not. But it is by grace and through faith in Christ upon which we receive the gift of salvation, of eternal life. And so 3 weeks ago, we were talking about deeply rooted, right? Grow deeply. And I was talking about how we are called to put our roots in and grow together. And this is a community that I hope we are all doing that together and with and alongside. Last week, we talked about how to read scripture. You know, how are we looking at the whole arc of the narrative of God's story for God's people and reading it faithfully? Well, one is we actually have to read it, right? You know, because if we don't read it, then we think we know what it says, but then we go to read a passage and it's like, when did that get put in there? I don't remember that, right? Because we get so familiar to the stories. But we also read scripture from the lens of Christ Jesus. That Jesus is the one who lived, suffered, died, was resurrected, and gives us this new way to interpret and understand scripture. And that is through the lens of the resurrection. And so that's where we pick up echoes and threads of this story, of this promise that was intended through Christ Jesus from the very beginning. And so we read that scripture going through, and then we get to today's text, right? So we were growing deeply, reading faithfully, and now what does it mean to love actively, right? To love actively. And so when we read this passage from Mark, we understand that here's the thing. Jesus was challenging the perspective that these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees had about this faith, this religion that was of God and for God's people. And they really thought they had it, right? Like they really thought they understood, or at least, you know, could tell it to you and head knowledge and you would get it. And then boom, Jesus takes them out of the feet, out of the ankle, right? Because the things that they were holding on to as valuable was not really at the heart of what God was asking of them. You know, because they were trying to catch Jesus, because how many commandments are there? And they were saying, well, which one's the greatest? Right? This was a trick question. We're at the end of the Gospel of Mark. They are looking for ways to capture Jesus, to be able to take Jesus out, because Jesus was a threat. That Jesus was challenging their way of life and understanding and what it meant for them. And so Jesus very succinctly responds and responds with scripture. Hear, O Israel, I am the Lord your God, the one true God. You shall love me with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the first part of that comes from Deuteronomy. The second part comes from Leviticus. It was the heart of the law for the Jewish people. And again, Jesus is reinterpreting the law through the lens of love. So today we're challenged to recognize that this love that comes from God, this love that was shown and illustrated to us through the willingness of Jesus to do what Jesus was doing, is something that we have to take. And it is not something that we just take on and hold. It is something that we are called to share. We are to actively love one another. And it's not a, oh, I love everybody. Well, yeah, we do love everybody, but there are times where we don't like people. Like, right? Like, am I right? You know, it kind of takes you out at the ankle, be like, do I really have to? God, really? Do I? And it's like, oh, yeah, you do. And there are very concrete ways that we can do this. And part of our calling is to do that in ways that are made visible to the world. And those are called means. They are means of grace, but there are acts of piety and acts of mercy. And so when we think about those things, acts of piety are those things that we can do that help us grow in our faith. Okay? It's for us. It is also for the community. So those would be reading scripture. It could be praying. We can pray as individuals. We can pray as a community. It might be fasting. It might be me saying, hey, you all skip Sunday brunch today and wait and hear what God has to say to you. To be mindful that there may be someone who doesn't have a meal this morning. Right? It could be journaling, meditation, walking in creation. Those are things that we can do so that our inner knowledge of God, our heart knowledge of God, can grow and expand. But then there are acts of mercy. These are the acts of charity in the time of John Wesley. This is where we're paying attention to where God is calling us to be and work in the world. So in the time of John Wesley, you know, they were providing schools and hospitals and recovery groups for those, because they recognized the things that were happening within the community that were destroying families and communities, and they were actively working to help those things. And so for us, it might be providing a meal. It might be going into the prisons to visit and share the good news. It might be us sitting alongside the sick, the dying. It might be for us to be a listening ear for someone who's going through a difficult time. That there's this connection of God's love that works through that. And it is active and participatory. Does that make sense? And there are times where we're just like, I don't know that I can do that. Right? You know, I sit here and I think, oh, do I really want to drive and go to XYZ? And then I think, God, help me get out of my own way. Help me be an instrument of your love and grace where you need me to be present. So for us to grow deeper in our faith and our journey, it means that our love has to be manifested out in the world. It's to be kindness. And when we were thinking about that, it drew me back to last summer, our intentional acts of kindness. Do you remember this, where we do a mission all for some of you who are here, where we were intentionally thinking about how we could be a blessing of love to someone else without any expectation of return? That we were sharing God's love out into the world. This year, it was the little Jesus. Where did we see Jesus in the midst of where we are every single day? Because if that means that we are looking in the eyes of someone, we're seeing Jesus. If we're hearing someone speak to us, chances are there is something that God wants us to hear from that person. And sometimes it may very well knock us out at our ankles. And we've got to figure out how to get ourselves back up, but we don't do it by ourselves. When those moments happen, we can lean into God's grace and the gift of God's love to knit us back together. So when we come in all of our brokenness and humanity and the messes of our lives, we come to this place to be knit back together, to be made whole as individuals, and to be made whole as a community. And then we are sent out to be those points of connection of light and love so that the whole world can be made whole and right by God's love and grace. So friends, your faith should be made visible. How will you do that this week? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.